More Idaho Matters right now. Take a look around you. What do you see? Is anything around you made of plastic? Maybe your water bottle, food wrap, your mayo bottle. I mean, what kind of container holds your milk? Maybe your orange juice, your butter, your bag of frozen veggies. Plastic is everywhere, and it is leaking into our favorite foods, according to Consumer Reports. In fact, the newest issue of the magazine says we're eating too much plastic, and it's coming from places we never thought of. Dr. James Rogers is director of food safety research and testing at Consumer Reports, and he sat down with our Morning Edition host, George Prentice, for a frank discussion about plastic in our food. Let's take a listen.
I'm hoping you could give us maybe just kind of a layperson's lesson, only because we see the term phthalates quite often, P-H-T-H-A-L-A-T-E-S. I'm pretty sure I've seen this in conjunction with stories we've done on children's toys, but what is a phthalate? And am I pronouncing that right?
Triphthalate, short A.
Got it, phthalate.
Yeah, so phthalates, yeah. Okay. So phthalates are a family of chemicals that also include bisphenols that are used in the manufacture of plastics. And so why you've seen them associated with children's toys is that there was a movement to try to get these chemicals banned from children's toys some years ago. And now you're seeing it as an issue with food. And that's why we did the testing.
And it's coming to us through a plastic trash, animals, processing. How's it coming into our gut?
So our testing show that the phthalates and the bisphenols can be detected in foods. And in fact, the article talks about how we tested 85 different food products, including yogurt, soda, fast food, poultry, meat, seafood, canned fruits and vegetables for phthalates and for bisphenols. And for phthalates, out of 85 products that we tested, 84 were positive for phthalates.
Wow.
From low amounts to very high amounts. And how do they get into our food? Well, initially it was thought that these chemicals would be in either plastic food wrappings or plastic containers and transfer into the food. But more recent data shows us that these chemicals can be in what's called food contact surfaces. So during the manufacture of our food, as the food moves down the chain, some of the surfaces in the machinery have plastic, and some of the workers wear gloves that can have these plasticizers in them. So as they touch our food, and then again, more recent data also indicates that it can actually be in the food and the soil and the water that animals and plants can take up and end up in the food that we eat.
And just to drop some names, when we look at the research, we see some very familiar products here.
Yes.
Brisk iced tea in a can. Goodness knows a fair amount of fast food, Wendy's crispy chicken nuggets and Cheerios, General Mills Cheerios, which are, of course, in those boxes with plastic bags inside.
Exactly.
Am I correct? This is mostly avoidable, yes?
Well, that's our concern, because what we're saying is that we can help you, consumer, reduce your risk, but we don't think we can help you make your risk zero. Mm-hmm. It's hard to say that it's avoidable because so many products are positive for these chemicals. Like I said, we tested 85, 84 were positive. So what we are saying is that look at our data, look at other folks' data, and use this as your shopping list to reduce your exposure. We don't think you can eliminate it, but reduce your exposure by shopping wisely. And then as you noted, for instance, fast food was positive. We are suggesting, well, maybe you want to cut out or cut down on the amount of fast food that you eat, and also eat a much more healthy, less processed diet, fresh fruits and vegetables instead of canned, for instance, to try to reduce your exposure. We don't think we can make it to zero. We're going to try to get you as close to zero as we can.
There's a couple of other things that really jump out for me. And one is the suggestion to avoid plastic food storage containers, which so many of us use. Yes. And it makes a point of saying, if you do use them, don't heat them in the microwave, which so many of us do.
So here's the thing. When you heat plastic, you have a better chance of getting these chemicals released from the plastic. And then if you're heating your food in that, to merge into the food, migrate into the food.
Right.
And so we've done a number of stories on that. In fact, I was quoted a couple of times because I don't use plastic when I microwave. I have a set of dishes, clear glass dishes, that I microwave all my food in to avoid the possibility of these chemicals getting into my food during microwaving. We also say in the article that even in food preparation, try to eliminate your plastic. So if you have any plastic utensils, replace those with stainless steel, wood, or silicone. Replace anything that's plastic that's going to contact your food with those materials so you don't add to the phthalates or the bisphenols into the food. And then if you use a water bottle when you work out, again, use stainless steel or glass. Do not use plastic. So we're trying to get you to eliminate as much as possible what you can control in your diet and in how you prepare your food at home.
And to those kitchen tools, I'm instantly thinking of that plastic cutting board, which is probably doing me no good.
Yeah, we've talked about that too, because not only can you have a problem with these plasticizers, but sometimes these plastic cutting boards get grooved and they can actually pick up and hold on to bacteria that no amount of cleaning can get rid of. And so we suggest, again, you move to wood cutting boards. I've even seen a few glass cutting boards out there. I mean, they're more fragile. But again, trying to move you away from plastic as you prepare your food with these plastic cutting boards, we think is a good idea.
And back to your other point, avoiding those plastic bottles and cups, right?
Mm-hmm. What I would do is, if you're really, really serious about eliminating these chemicals from your diet, is that you just go through your cupboards, your cupboards, and then wherever you can pull plastic off the shelf and recycle it and start replacing it with glass or stainless steel will go a long way to reducing your exposure from those items.
I think I know the answer to this question. Is the most effective change, will it come from consumers as opposed to producers?
Well, we have asked for a number of people that are involved in our food manufacturer to get involved with this. At the very top level, we have asked the FDA to ban these chemicals from any food contact surfaces. So that would be a start. If we can get some regulations to have them ban them through the manufacturer, et cetera, that would be a good start. We're also asking the manufacturers to do a survey of their own manufacturing processes, including testing, to try to determine along the way, you know, from when the raw materials enter the door to as they go out the door, is there any place that you are adding, Mr. Manufacturer, Ms. Manufacturer, these chemicals to the food as it's being manufactured? And so if we can do this as a team effort, so our federal regulatory agency, the food manufacturers themselves, and consumers, we think we can make an impressive and important reduction of these chemicals in the consumer's food stream.
Well, I have to tell you that having read consumer reports for decades, I can't remember a cover story jumping out as much as this one does.
And interviews like this, we hope, are helping to educate the consumers on how they can themselves address this problem. But we also talk about, if you want to advocate for your food health, we have petitions at Consumer Reports you can sign as a consumer, write the manufacturers, write the FDA, and say this is something that you want out of your food stream. You do not want to be exposed to these chemicals. So we're hoping we can get a groundswell of support for this effort that we're trying to get done.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.